Church. Thank you to everybody that played their part today, especially to Norma and Suzanne, who I'm now naming the two Ronnies of East Point Church. They are a gig. Suzanne already is probably wanting people to nominate her for a Golden Globe for her performance today. So bless you guys so much. And as they said, we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 7 this morning. Just before we read God's word, let's come and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a blessing to our lives. It gives us so much instruction. It fills our hearts with joy when we realize the love you have for us and the plans you have for us. And in this story of Nehemiah, Lord, thank you for teaching us how to build church and build church well. And I pray today that we will take this lesson to do what you want us to do, to build church well for your honor and your glory, even in these unusual times. Help us to build with all our might for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah chapter 7 is a very long chapter. There's 70 verses, and we're only going to read the first few verses at the very beginning, not because it's long, but because there's so many big names and words that none of us can say. So let's just read those first five verses together. After the wall had been rebuilt, and I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. I said to them, "The gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, have them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some of their posts and some near their houses." And the Lord will bless the reading of his word. After 52 days of hard labour, with all the discouragement, intimidation, ridicule and opposition that these guys faced, now Nehemiah and his people had completed the task of building the walls. Nehemiah 7 is right in the centre of this book. And the first six books of Nehemiah are all about how the walls were being restored. And the last six chapters of Nehemiah are all about the restoration of the people that dwelt within these walls. In other words, before the first part of this chapter, or the first part of this book, was about these people existing for the walls. And now we're going to see how these walls are existing for the people. I think one thing that we have learned through lockdown again is this. That as much as we love our buildings, we love the place where we meet, we love the places where we can congregate and be one together, but we realize that the church is not its building, but the building of God's church is its people. It's all about his people. That is what the church is. And Jesus declared, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And we may be out of our buildings at this present time, but we're not out of work. We're not out of the work that God called us to do, and that was to work alongside his Holy Spirit to see the church of God increase and be built. In Nehemiah 7, we see three things that Nehemiah did to help build this community of God's people. The first thing he did was he enlisted help. He established citizenship, and thirdly, he encourages worship. So let's look at the first point this morning. He enlisted help. Nehemiah knew he couldn't do it alone as a leader, so he brought other leaders on. And I just want to say this morning a big thank you to Esther and Darren, who lead with me at East Point. I want to thank them today, especially in this period of time, for their help in doing the fortnightly calls around our whole congregation, that we know you're okay and we're keeping in touch with you, and we can offer prayer and we can offer help if it's needed. So I just want to say, guys, I really appreciate your help at this time. In verse 2, we see here that Nehemiah enlisted help as well. He enlisted help from his brother and another leader as well. It says, I gave the responsibility of covering Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, and along with Hananiah, the commander of the fortress. For he was a faithful man, or as the NIV, a man of integrity, and he feared God more than most. If you look at these two names together, you'll see that they're very similar in the way that they are spelt, and they come from the same Hebrew root. And it means this: God is gracious. And we see that Hananiah not only was he a man that knew that God is gracious, but we also see that Hananiah was a man who was faithful, or as the NIV said, he was a man of integrity. What that meant was they were people of stability, certainty, and trustworthiness. They were people of truth. So they were people of grace, and they were people of truth. That reminds us of the Lord Jesus. In 1 John, we see that it says that, John chapter 1, we see verses 14 and 17, that Jesus was full of grace and truth, that grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus. And we need leaders who are Christ-like, leaders who can portray that grace and that truth. And not only, friends, do we need our leaders to be like that, but we all need to aspire to Christ-likeness, to walk in grace and to walk in truth, one with each other. And these days, when we are maybe not in our buildings, we need to remain faithful to the cause, to be faithful in seeing the Lord's church built. Matthew 25 verses 14 to 30 talks about how the Lord was saying, you are a good and faithful servant. Why? Because they have produced fruit. Faithfulness is always connected to fruitfulness. And don't see these days, church, as times to rest on our laurels and to kick back a wee bit. No, when it comes to the work of God, we need to remain faithful to do and to be obedient, to carry on with the work of God in these times. You know, the early church, they didn't have buildings as they started. They were without buildings for the first 300 years of church, and yet in that period of time, they still grew. And we want to remain as a church faithful to building church at this time, that we can see fruitfulness in these days. I want to encourage you, as we talked the other night in our interview with Stephen, we talked about how, you know, it's good to share even online what's being taught in church. Who knows, maybe something that will be shared in any of our weeks together may be a catalyst for someone coming to faith. You know, it's great to see. I know already some of you have reached out to people online and people have joined us from all over the place. And who knows, by you sharing these words, what impact it might have on somebody's life because you dared to share. But I want to encourage you to remain faithful to what is church at this time, as Acts chapter 2 tells us what to be devoted to. Be devoted to the teaching, God's word, be devoted to fellowship, be devoted to the breaking of bread, be devoted to the commission to reach out to the lost. We want to be people who are still living under the awe of God, being under the fear of God, knowing that even in this period of time in our lives, that we will have to give an account of how we lived. And we want to live in obedience, being faithful to the call of God to build his church. At the close of chapter 6, we see that here, even though many people backed off their opposition to what Nehemiah and the people of God were doing, but there was still an undercurrent of people who were still opposing what was happening. And we see, rather than their allegiance being to God, their allegiance was to the families they had married into, or their allegiance was to money, as they were being bribed to stand against Nehemiah. And we want to be a people who will live under the fear of God. We want to be a people who will honour God and obey God, that we won't be a people that will be swayed by family or friendship influence or by finances. But we will be a people who will remain faithful to God in these times, in these days that we would be obedient to him and do what he wants us to do and build church by being a people who live in grace and a people who will stand on God's word, his truth. In other words, we'll be building church in God's way rather than the way of man. And for the very reason that there was still this underlying current of opposition, even though they got the walls completed, Nehemiah not only appointed good, godly leaders, but he also appointed gatekeepers, people who would open and close doors. You know, the Great Wall of China was penetrated 4 times because those who were guarding the gates had been bribed. Gates and walls are only as good as those people who are guarding them. We have a great welcome team at East Point. In fact, people comment, sometimes even online, about the welcome they get at the door at East Point. And we're so thankful for those men and women who, on a Sunday morning, welcome people with open arms and make people feel so much at home. But the truth of it is, in church, we all need to be gatekeepers. We all need to be people who will open up doors widely and welcome in the whosoever. Not only do they get a welcome at the door, but they get a welcome throughout the service, and the people show a genuine interest in these people, the whosoever, as they come in through our doors. We want to open the doors of our hearts wide to people and let people be a part of our community, why that be present within a building or even online as church. But we also need to be people who are good at closing doors at times. People who will be brave enough to close the door to any behaviours of our flesh that wants to make church about us rather than the will of God. And it takes good gatekeepers to say no to things and close doors and things, behaviours and ways that will cause division rather than the unity that God wants us to thrive and grow in. Nehemiah didn't only have his leaders, his gatekeepers, but he also set guards. He set those guards on the walls and also near their homes. You know, the devil wants to come to kill, steal and destroy. He wants to destroy the work of God. And you know, a lack of spiritual watchfulness has often caused the downfall of physical cities, but also spiritual groups as well. The Bible says this in Ephesians 6 and 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And verse 18 of the same chapter says this, "Praying always, watching thereunto with all perseverance." Watchfulness is a continual business. And I love the fact that Nehemiah, not only did he set guards on the walls, but near their homes. I think there's a spiritual significance to our church. If we are being watchful at our homes, if we're watching how we walk, if we're watching out how we are spiritually within our homes, then being watchful over the whole of the community of God becomes so much easier when we're being watchful in our most intimate places and those secret places within our homes. Maybe today in the isolation and maybe through loneliness, maybe you haven't been as faithful as you think you should have been spiritually. I want to remind you of God's word in 2 Timothy 2:13. It says this, "He remains faithful when we are faithless." And today, instead of beating yourself up because of a failure, why don't you throw yourself back on the faithfulness of God? I've had to do it in this period of time of my life as well, and apologise to God for maybe my focus not being where it really should be. And let's get back into that place where God has called us to faithfully build church and be the men and women that God wants us to be. Nehemiah enlisted help. But then Nehemiah secondly established citizenship. In verses 4 and 5, we read that it was a large city, that it was spacious, but there were few people. And God put it in the heart of Nehemiah to survey the people. Why? Well, you know, just like many of our churches, many churches in these days will have their membership. We call it partnership at East Point, where people partnered to be together and work together. Nehemiah was saying who he had so that he knew who he could build with. And that's why churches have partnership or membership, that we know whose heart is for us, whose hand is on the plow, who is working and not part of the vineyard and not part of God's house to build that community for God's honour and glory. And that's why he was starting that survey, to know who he had to be able to work and to build, because he wanted to build that community of grace where he was. And you know, friends, as we build this local community, we want to see spiritual growth within you. That's why we encourage you to come and meet, even as we're meeting in homes just now, to listen to God's word, to engage in worship, to engage in fellowship, all the things that Acts 2 tells us to do. Because out of that, that is where there becomes in you spiritual growth. You will grow strong spiritually as you work with God's Holy Spirit in your life, especially through the word of God, to be built up in your most holy faith. But out of that building up within you, there has to become a multiplication. There has to be a building up of us as community, other people being ignited with that fire of God and the truth of God's word to see other people coming to faith as well. Never let anybody tell you that numbers don't matter to God. That is not right. Numbers do matter to God. He dedicated a whole book of the Bible to numbers. As we read in this chapter, there's a lot of numbers. Because God wants his church to be built and expand, and he has called us to work with him in that ministry of reconciliation, that we can see men and women, boys and girls, one into the kingdom of God. The rest of this chapter seems just to be an endless list of names of places, names of people, and numbers. But there's a significance there. You know, genealogy to the Jewish people was important because it told them where they came from, who they were, and their purpose. These folk had come back from Babylon, a place that represented slavery, a place of confusion, of sin, and of pride. And they'd left Babylon to come to Jerusalem. That meant the place of peace, an abode of peace. You know, I took some time over the last week and did a wee study on all the names. You know, I like names. So I did a study on a lot of these names. And you know, good part of these names are good names with good Hebrew strength of blessing. Names that meant Yahweh comforts, Yahweh helped, friend of God. But a lot of the people that is named here in this genealogy, their names meant things like maimed, harmed, scattered, destroyed, oppressed, grief, travail, nakedness. And nakedness biblically always represented slavery, that these were a people who were enslaved. You know, Christ became maimed for our grief, took our grief. He hung on a cross, he was naked, he was ashamed, he was taking us out of our confusion of sin and our slavery, and he was bringing us into relationship with him to that place of peace. And you know, for us as a community of grace, for those people who are yet to come, there's people who are going to come with a good heritage behind them, maybe quite a religious heritage, and their lives are okay, their lives are together, their lives are good, and they come from great backgrounds, but they still have realised that they're spiritually bankrupt and they need Jesus. Then we're going to have people who are going to come out of brokenness. People who have been maimed in life, who have been hurt in life, who have been enslaved by sin, who have come through brokenness. But the truth is, we've all had to come through the same gate, that same door, the Lord Jesus Christ, to enter that place of peace. And that is why we as the people of East Point need to show good leadership and be those people who love to be Christ-like, who are working personally to develop ourselves to be more like Jesus in our lives, so that we can be witnesses for those people who are yet to come to know how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We also need to be good gatekeepers. We need to open our hearts widely to people, no matter what their brokenness is, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've come through. We need to open our arms wide to them, just like Jesus has, that they feel that they belong in our church community. But we also need to be quick to close doors on our behaviours, sometimes on their behaviours, to stop anything that will make church about people and our sinfulness rather than about God's honour and God's glory. We need to protect them, to close off things that would actually harm them. We need to be watchful and pray for them, to guard them, these new lambs in Christ, to take care of them, that they may be safe to develop their walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nehemiah, in building this community, he enlisted help. He established citizenship. And thirdly, we see that he encouraged worship. As you read through this passage, you see that there are the priests, there are the Levites, and there are the musicians who are all a part of this work for God. Now, we know that worship is important to God. It's important to us even as we worship God. We've talked about this over the last few weeks. As we sing to God, it's healthy for us. It releases endorphins in us that are good. So God knew what he was doing when he called us to sing and to worship to him. But we also know that our worship is much more than singing. These people that lived in these days would have practiced some feasts. Some of these feasts were like the Feast of Trumpets, where they were honouring God's word. There was a Day of Atonement, where they were confessing their sins before God. There was the Feast of Tabernacle, where they dedicated themselves again to the things of God. And all of these things accumulate to worship. Worship is many different things when we do it in God's direction. But there's something here I don't want you to miss. In verses 70 to 72, we see that these people gave to the work of God. They gave finances, they gave utensils, they gave garments for the priest, they gave of themselves. Do you know, essentially, our faith is one of generosity. And it was shown, first of all, from the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And because he gave us his Son, we have given our lives back to him as an act of worship, and we want to continue to do so. I love the story of the lady who came to Jesus with the alabaster jar, the alabaster box. It was worth a year's salary to this lady. It would have been a perfume that she would have wanted to keep for her death. It was her death insurance. It was something that she would use or would be used on her body as she died to embalm her. So it was her burial fund. And yet this lady gave what was a year's wages. She gave it a great cost to the Lord. She gave it lavishly. She just didn't break off the wee end and pour a few wee drops on the Lord Jesus. She broke it over him and let it flow lavishly upon him. A great cost, lavishly and willingly, this lady gave to the Lord. And the Lord wants us to continue to give of ourselves, wholly of ourselves, to him and to his purposes. And when we work towards worshipping Jesus and building his church, we are basically giving our adoration and our worship. Church, I want to say a big thank you as well today to you for your generosity. Because of your giving in this season, your generous giving, your faithful giving, we have still been able as a church to help people who have been in need. We've looked out for needs and we've quietly gone to homes and we have given people what they have needed, maybe in hard times. And that is because of your generosity and your giving. And I want to encourage you, East Pointers, keep giving, not just as you've been given in your finances, but off yourselves, to watch out for people, to love people, to encourage people in these days, to have them built up as we carry on being church and as we carry on wanting to see the church of God built in these days. Thank you for your faithfulness. As we continue to build church, be faithful and fearful. Be faithful to this work. Be fearful, live in awe under God, knowing that we will all give an account of ourselves to Him one day. He's been faithful to us. Let's remain faithful to Him. Be gatekeepers. Continue to open the doors of your heart wide to other people. Give of yourselves to other people and open the door wide, but be sensible to know when to close doors to anything that will stand in the way of those that are young in faith. And continue to be watchful and pray. Be watchful towards each other at the moment. Maybe when you haven't heard from someone, or maybe you think someone is down with the pressure of this isolation, that's the time to be watchful over them and lift the phone and encourage them through prayer and by the word of God, and continue to pray one for another. Continue to pray and ask God to show you how you can still, as a presence carrier, someone who carries the Spirit of God, how you can influence those people around you who have not yet come to faith and belong to His wonderful church. And as we abide in this abode of peace, in this part of God's vineyard that God has given us at East Point, let's be those people who will definitely make room for those who are yet to come, no matter about their past, no matter where they've been or what they've done. God's not interested in their past. He's interested in their future, and He wants us to be interested in their future in Him also. We all have to come through that one gate. And I think the lesson here as well is this, you know, the truth of it is we're all very different and we've all got our own backstory. But the Lord has brought us together to live in unity in this place of peace. And the scripture tells us that as it depends on you, live in peace with others. And let's make East Point this place of peace where we can grow and we can be established and we can reach out and we can do great things for our God. Remember, it was a big city, but there were very few in it. And we want to see East Point expand, more people come to faith, to the kingdom of God, that they can be a part of God's plan and God's glory. And let's always worship. Let's give of ourselves. Jesus poured out everything of Himself on the cross for us. Let's not hold back anything from our great God. There was nothing we could do to come to faith. Christ has done it all. We could never pay Him back. We could never do what He has done. But out of adoration for what He has done, let us work in worship to bring glory to His name and to see other men and women being born into the kingdom of God and added to His church. East Pointers, you are doing a great job. Be encouraged, even in these days. Be inspired to do more for our great God. May the Lord bless you. May you be blessed in your souls today. And especially for those, and I know Norma prayed earlier on, that are probably feeling really isolated at this time. I want you to know you're not forgotten. The Lord sees you. We are reaching out to you. And if we can do anything for you in these days, just lift the phone. We're interested in you and your story and in your need. May the Lord bless you real good, church. Amen.